Luke 22, we're going to start in verse 24. We're going to go really fast through 24, verse 24. Somebody's laughing already. Y'all must know me already. But I promise this time we're going to go fast. We're going to try to get to verse 31. But I wanted to give you guys a heads up of how Jesus... teaches leadership or expects church leadership, okay? Guys, I don't, prefacing this message, I really don't care to be great or powerful or anything like that as far as preaching and teaching, but what I would like more than anything is to see people grow and be better in Christ Jesus, right? That's my goal. I don't, if we're preaching and people just say that he's a great preacher or whatever, that's one thing. But if people are literally changing and you're seeing like families come together, you're seeing people get a desire and a heart to reach other people in ministry, they're growing. And they're not just growing superficially, they're just not, you know, coming back and trying to hear another great thing. They're trying to apply something to get to where God wants them to be. Does that make sense? But I'm gonna challenge you tonight. This first part of this message is very hard to deal with because a lot of times we think, when we think about ministry, and I do this on Sunday night because I preach Sunday night and Wednesday night a little bit different because I expect you guys to be more of the core of the church who really want to do something other than just come and hear a message. You really want to find out what God has for you, and you want to do more than just be a part of a church. You want to grow the church, grow the kingdom of God more than anything. And let's look into that real quick. Let's go to Luke chapter 22, verse 24.
Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children.
Stop. Oh. Am I in the wrong place?
22:24.
Luke chapter 22, verse 24. Whew. All right, Diane, you're done. It's over. I'm glad I didn't record it. I'm just kidding. It was probably me. I'll take it. Luke 22, verse 24. It said, go like, and there was also strife among them.
And there is also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest?
Stop. Hey, this is the apostles and disciples. This is the night when they're having the meal in the upper room, right? The Last Supper. They're in the upper room, and they're arguing. They start there's an argument amongst them at who's going to be the greatest. Okay, and I just wanted you to hear this. This is a kind of an amazing deal that these 11 men, 12 of them really, one of them's about, you know, to portray Christ. That's already been kind of covered. But right here they're saying, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest leader? You know what the problem with that is? Is before this night's out, every one of them are going to be scattered and run and deny and act like they don't know Jesus. Amen? Be careful. Like I was teaching this morning, it slipped through some the part of the message is sometimes we think we're going to be able to stand and do all these great things, but we don't even know what 4 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours down the road looks like. Amen. They were sitting there going, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be the greatest, and all of you are going to have to what? You're going to eat my dirt. I'm going to be better than you. And then just within a few hours, they can't pray with Jesus. They can't even stay awake. And then when they come to get Jesus, they're running for their lives and they're scattering like sheep, okay? So go ahead and read. Ain't that pretty neat? Now listen to this part. This is going to be real good for you. This is helpful stuff. Jesus is going to talk to them about leadership right here.
And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve.
Okay, stop right there. The reason he's saying that is because that's his leadership style. His leadership style was to not sit on a throne and give orders, but to lower himself and become as a servant and serve as the younger. He chose, if you're going to be in leadership and ministry leadership, you don't have to be the person barking orders and telling people what to do to have power. Your power is going to be demonstrated that you're willing to do the least job and the greatest job. Amen? The least job and the greatest job. I'm just going to tell you this. God has an amazing way. There's going to be times in your life where you'll be doing the greatest job and everybody will give you credit there. But there's other times, even in ministry, where you could be in ministry 10, 15 years and all of a sudden you're doing something that nobody else wants to do, but God wants you to do it just to bring you to a level of servanthood. And you're like, okay. And let me say this, and I know this for a fact. There's been a few times, even since I've been here, that God has put me in positions where I volunteered to go do something, and we end up doing something. I'm thinking, man, this was a bad idea. I'll give you one. We went out to this mission trip out west, and about the second day, they said, we're going over here and pull weeds. And I'm like, I don't have a problem pulling weeds. But this was dumb, pulling weeds, right? I mean, we were out there with like archaic, we looked like cavemen, right, Garrett? We was out there, we had these things that didn't even look like any kind of yard equipment I'd ever seen. And we're, and I'm like, and the funny thing about it is we were knocking weeds down around a tractor that was hooked to a bush hog. And I just thought, I was like, hey, this something. I mean, we got this backwards, right? I mean, we're living in 2021. All we got to do is crank the tractor. This thing's done, right? But anyway. But it's amazing that even in those moments, just a few minutes in that, we're sweating, we're tired, we're miserable, and a little bit aggravated. But just a few minutes later, I'm sitting next to a guy that's in that ministry, and man, God just opens up an opportunity for me to go back and forth with him, and I feel the Spirit of God just flowing back and forth. Without that, without all that, I wouldn't be able to do that. So God, He knows what He's doing. Even when you get in the mundane and the very humble and the like weird, God works in that too. Be willing to lower yourself to reach somebody that normally you wouldn't be able to reach. It's a good thought. Go ahead. Next. I'm trying to go fast.
For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Oh, stop right there. Do you notice what he just done with them? He just told them about where they're going to rule and reign. What's the problem with that? It's not a problem, but what is the big takeaway right there? It's in eternity. You are going to sit on 12 thrones next to me and judge the whole world. You're going to be a part of that. Absolutely. Is that correct? But guess what? Not now. Not in your lifetime. From this day forward, when I'm removed from you, you are going to go through all kinds of trouble, torment, weakness, brokenness. I mean, you're going to go through things that it's not even explainable. So guess what? You will reach a high level, but you must go through the lowest levels. Amen? Leadership and ministry, sometimes you will think, man, I am being destroyed. And God would gladly destroy you for the growth of the kingdom of God. Amen? It's just rare. We live in a different church age. We live in a church age that we think, if we went back 100 years, we would think so much different in how life really is or how it should be. We are really spoiled. We are. We're spoiled. Really be honest, we're spoiled beyond even comprehension to us because we think suffering is when somebody just don't like us or they've said something negative about us and maybe even indirectly about us serving God. Amen? And that's really nothing, right? When somebody beats you unrecognizable because you serve God, that's suffering. That's suffering. When somebody uses you as a torch where they can have light to torture other Christians, that's torture. And that's absolutely happened in history before. Amen. I love reading about the Roman Empire and how they destroyed Christians and they brought them up and they brought them in where the gladiators and all that, and they'd bring them in there and they used to line them all the way up. If you can read this in the Fox Book of Martyrs, and they line them up and they were fighting down there, and they said some of the Christians are fighting, and they said, what are they fighting for? Are they trying to get free? He said, no, the ones that are in the back of the line who are going to go out into the arena and die and suffer are fighting with the ones in the front because they want to go out first. Man, that's far from us, right? Yeah. But guess what? When those gates flew open, those men would run to the corners and the sides of the great arena and start proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while they were being destroyed and murdered, and people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in their death and in their weakness. Amen? Because you can't fake that. Amen? That's just one thought. Just always remember, God is not going to use your strength as much as He's going to use your weakness. He's not going to use your power over how He can use your weaknesses and how incompetent you might be. All right? So you got to really lean on God and understand that His kind of leadership is different. We are all going to be in different places when we're in heaven. Our treasures are laid in heaven. Amen? Where neither moth or rust corrupts it. We're not trying to gain everything here. We're trying to gain everything there. That's totally different than most matches today in the American church, and I understand that. Now we're going to get into the meat of why we came tonight. 31 is kind of where God really impressed me to preach tonight, so I just want to give you that leadership thing. Take the lowest place if you possibly can. Serve. If you're going to lead in any kind of capacity in ministry. Verse 31, please.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat.
Okay, hold there. Watch this right here. Sift you as wheat. I kind of went through this not long ago. I was talking about the sifting, but I wanted to go a little bit and correct that. That's our kind of sifting. Wheat sifting is totally different. Wheat sifting, most of the time what we do is if you had a place to sift wheat, you would put it on the top of a hill and you would give it a flat surface, but you would take it and you throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind, the crosswind from the top of the mountain or the hillside would catch the heavier or the lighter parts, and it would blow it out, and the chaff, and it was blowed out, and the wheat would settle back on the floor. So what literally Jesus was telling Peter is, I'm going to let Satan toss you up and down. I'm going to let him treat you really rough, because what I want to happen is I want some things to be separated in your life. I want the stuff that doesn't matter to be separated from the things that does matter. Amen? Boy, I hope y'all get that, because I need that in my life too. Amen? Sometimes when I'm being buffeted by the enemy, let me go ahead and slow down right here and give this to you. Sometimes when I'm being sifted by the enemy, there are some things that come flying out of me. God, that's good, Mark. There are some things that come flying out of me that I didn't think was possible. I didn't think existed anymore. But because that sifting, and because the devil, Jesus allowing it, is that he doesn't want it to remain, and he will use any tool necessary to bring it out of you where it doesn't remain. Can I go one step further than that? You really need to hear this. A lot of times God will allow that on the sifting floor, but he doesn't allow it in front of everybody and everything. Thank you, Lord. So said that. Praise God for you. That's amazing. Has some of y'all done, have you noticed that sometimes that you're failing? You might fail classes or you might fail tests with God, but He does it in such a cool way, almost like, I had a couple of teachers that they would do this number. Don't laugh at me, Ed, I know. They would say, hey, Kevin, could you stay after class? I'm like, yeah, no problem, what's going on, you know? Just come on up here, I want to show you something. Got their hand over a certain number, you know? You see that? That's your grade. That's your grade, okay? We're going to need to work on this, okay? And I'm still sitting there with my job. That's it? I mean, you get more credit for that, putting your name on the top of the paper. And they're like, yeah, you only put half your name up there. we went by the bad spelling of your first name. Figure out it was you, all right? Golly, y'all. But I want you to get that. Listen, hey, that's what God does. He will let the enemy sift you, and you will fail miserably, and you will be terrible. But praise God, you'll look around, and he's that teacher, and he's showing you, here's your report, here's your grade. All right? We're going to be taking this test tomorrow. You know where you failed. Let's work on it. Hey, man, ain't that good? All right, man. I hope we're not over spiritual here tonight on that end, because sometimes we think we're doing better than we are, and we think, man, we're just knocking it out of the park, and we're just like them disciples. I wonder who's the greatest. I wonder if it's me or you. I think I'm a little bit better than you. I think if Jesus went somewhere right now, he'd probably put me in charge. And bam, you know. And about 5 hours later, we're all getting through around like it ain't nothing, right? But I love that right there. So he said he's going to let you be sifted as in wheat. Let's go a little bit further.
But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
All right, stop right there. The first thing he says, you know what he says? I prayed for you. You know what? Ain't that something? He's God, ain't he? Well, prayed. Have you ever got upset because somebody said they prayed for you? Not really, but let's just think about it. You know, sometimes, let's just be real honest. We get in real tough spots in life, and somebody says, I'm going to pray for you. You're like, well, you could help me out. You know what I mean? I mean, if we're being real about it, I mean, you see the need, you see the problem, could you jump in, right? Now, listen, let's think. Let's be real honest, because we can get over spiritual sometimes with God, and that's okay if we are in church or around other Christians, but let's just be real honest. If this is God, right, and God's healed the lame, delivered the sick, blind eyes open, deaf ears hear, women with the issue of blood, all this stuff, raised the dead, all those are on the table, correct? All right, the devil's wanting to sift you, this person who's so close to God, the little rock, Peter, right? So, I'm going with you. I've been called by you. I'm going to serve you. Now, you've healed everybody else. You've touched everybody else. You've blessed everybody else. All right, the devil's wanting to get on me. God, all right, what I need you to do, Jesus, is I want you to get in between me and him, and you handle it. Because I've seen you do all these other things. I appreciate the prayer, but why don't you just whoop him? Put him in a cage. Here's a good one. How about we don't go through the sifting process? How about that? Why don't we just skip it? Well, if we skipped it, then the things that I want to get out of you, we won't get out of you. Because you'll pretend like they're not there, and I'll pretend like they're not there, but they're absolutely there, because you're a spiritual man, but you're also a carnal man, and there are some things I need you to know who you really are. And it's okay for you to know who you really are. That way, when I'm changing you and working on you, you'll know who I am and what I'm doing in you, and you don't always need a miracle. Sometimes you need to go through some stuff to get some stuff out of you. You don't need a miracle. You don't need a healing. You don't need me to stand there for you. You need to know that I'm supporting you. I'm not going to let you die in it, but I am going to let you go through it to let you know that you needed it. Aren't you glad? I think we live in, and I'm not going to get on my soapbox and preach a whole lot right here, but that is probably what's wrong with this country the most. We don't let anybody fail anymore. Everybody wins. Everybody succeeds. We don't ever let our kids fall. Oh, man, one of them almost busted. We might want to pad the whole gym. Man, some of the best things you'll ever learn is after you've wrecked a bicycle for a quarter mile. Amen. Hey, man, your mom and daddy won't have to say slow down anymore. After both of your shins are bleeding and both of your elbows are tore to pieces and the skin on your hands don't exist, they won't have to say, I told you 3 times to cut it out. I told you a brick and a piece of board won't make a good ramp. You had it set up wrong, but you wouldn't listen. We're there now. Praise God, I guarantee you, right after one of them little deals, old Evel Knievel himself, somebody the next week sets that same setup up. Nuh-uh. Ain't running that bike over that. That won't work. How do you know? Done it last week. Amen? That's what's wrong. We don't have. Man, God is not like that at all. He will let you fall flat on your face. He will walk you through it. He will help you through it. But He'll let you go through. He'll let you take a whooping. Amen. Thank God. Some of us need to take a whooping. Amen. Let's look. Stay at that verse. I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That you don't turn in faith, not your body, not your physical body, not your feelings, but your faith, that you trust in me. And when thou art converted, when something changes in your heart and you realize that God's better than anything I got, He's strong. I'm not strong in myself. I'm strong in Him. My strength's not in me. And I believe God does this all the time on purpose to allow us to realize it's not us. Man, I'm glad of that. I'm glad I'm starting to figure it out more and more. People, it's Jesus. I mean, without Jesus, Lord help us. Amen? Let's go a little further right there in that same verse. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What did I tell you this morning? The Bible just connects itself. When you go through this and it hurts and you get healed up, help people with what you went through. That's it. Help people with what you went through. This is going to hurt. It's going to leave some scars. You're going to remember it. You're going to know who He is. You're going to know how He operates. But praise God, when it's over, when you see somebody else, help them. Write something about it. Tell somebody about it. Okay, y'all good? Give me that next verse. Ain't this good? Praise God. I didn't know how this was going to be tonight, but this is good for me.
And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death.
Oh, as far as you know, Peter. As far as you know, right? I bet Peter later on in his life somebody would say stuff like that and he'd go, I don't know. I really don't know. And you know, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to react. I know God's going to work through it, but I don't know how I'm going to react. Peter did go through prison real good one time, but it wasn't this time. Man, I'd go to prison and death with you, right? That's a bold statement. Amen. Let's get this. Let's see this. What, 34. Look how realistic Jesus is. Does he still love Peter?
Yes.
Is this love? Mm-hmm. Is straight up truth love? Mm-hmm. We've messed that up big time. We think if we tell somebody the truth, we hate them, right? Watch this right here.
And he said, I'll tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me.
Stop right there. Let's combine these. I'll go to prison. I'll go to death with you. Jesus' next statement says, hey, before tomorrow morning, the rooster's going to crow. And before he does, you're going to deny that you even know who I am. How would you like that in your mailbox? I'll bet you. He was sitting there going, you're crazy. Has Jesus ever kind of done some stuff in you and you thought, man, you're crazy? I'll never. Amen. Mine consists of 2019, 2020, and 2021, and going into 2022. There ain't no way, right? And here you are in these situations. Like, no, this is what we'll do. This is how I would operate. This is what I would expect. I don't even know. Now I'm just like, somebody said, well, we're going to snap back. We're going to go bind around wide open. I'm like, oh, you know, let's just, we shall see. Praying about it, hoping, it looks good. We're on a good trend. Amen? But I mean, could you imagine? I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to be in prison for you. And then God, who knows everything, comes right back over the top and says, yeah, before tomorrow morning. Before tomorrow morning. You're going to tell people you don't even know who I am. And he does. Amen? Let's go a little further. Watch this right here.
And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing.
Whoa. He said, hey, remember, go do the work of God. When I sent y'all out to do the work for me, did you ever have any need for anything? Absolutely not, right? Ain't this amazing how Jesus is working on his people? Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 8. Let's go look at it real quick. 1 Peter 5 and 8. It's all the way near the back of the Bible. You get past all the letters from Peter. You get back past Hebrews. It's the first letter. It's 1 Peter 5. Let's do something different. Let's do 6, 7, and 8 together, because this is beautiful. Because remember when he said, when you get through the trial, when you get through being sifted, and your faith remains, help the brethren, right? Does that make sense? Help the brethren? Does that make sense? Well, guess what this is? Help the brethren. hey, here we are. We're a little church in East Tennessee, and Peter wrote us this letter to say, hey, let me tell you something about God when you're being sifted. Amen? I can help you when you're being sifted. It would do you great work to go back and read the whole chapter 5, if you would. But let's start in verse 6, and let's kind of stop it at the end of each verse, and I'm going to help you here. Watch this.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
You know what you got to do? Listen more than you talk. Listen to God more than you talk. Amen. What he was saying right there is when I back in the day I told God, I shot this thing out there. I said, I'd go to prison for you, I'd die for you, I'm with you. Right? And I opened my mouth before I'd heard what God said. Amen. And when God told me how I would react, I said, there's no possible way. Amen. There was a couple times in the New Testament Peter said some things before he listened to God. Amen. And it's okay. We do it. Listen, I am the worst. Amen. God gave me the gift of speaking. My mind runs fast. My mouth runs faster than my mind most of the time. And I will say stuff because I'm quick-witted, I think, sometimes. and I'll say some stuff, and then I'm like, oh, no, I shouldn't have said those things, right? All right? So I do that, okay? So, but what I've got to learn to do is I've got to learn to get by, to humble myself under God, right? And listen for His Spirit and listen through His Word when I'm reading and praying over it, that I don't get ahead of God and I start making claims and things that God ain't a part of. Do y'all see that? So humble yourself. Guys, this is so good. I wish I could give this a class in elementary school and high school for everybody. Get up under the leadership of God. And let everything, I've taught this probably so many times in recovery, they would get sick of this. I would always say, let God be the screen that everything comes through, right? Let Him be the screener of every person and everything that comes into your life. And if it can't come through Jesus, it's not supposed to be there. Amen? Amen. Man, if we would just do that, if we would just humble ourselves and wait on God, we wouldn't date the wrong people, we wouldn't get involved in the wrong people business, we would get into wrong relationships, we wouldn't have money issues, we wouldn't have a lot of things going on if we would just wait and humble ourselves under God and let Him bring us up in situations. Amen. I can just take you, one point after another point in life and show you sometimes where God, He didn't give me what I wanted, but what He gave me was better. Does that make sense? I have drove, man, in my day, the old T-100. That's what I keep thinking. That just pops back in my mind when I think about this kind of stuff. I remember when I was in ministry and I wanted a truck. I want something different. And my dad, I was like, hey, does anybody, you know, anybody that's got an old car that they might want to get rid of, a good truck, or maybe a good little truck, you know, to drive? And he said, I do know one, and I can get it for you for a couple hundred bucks. And I'm like, a couple hundred bucks, all right. It's a Toyota. I'm like, yeah. He goes, it's a part-running truck for a thing up in Iota. And I'm like, great. He goes, it's not a bad-looking little truck. It's Toyota. It's a T-100. I think. I'm like, all right. So I went up there and looked at it. I think I gave $450 for it. Had 500,000 miles on it. I drove it for 2 years, and it never gave me an ounce of trouble. I mean, it was something. I drove that thing everywhere, loaded lawnmowers in it, mowed yards, done everything. I loved the little old truck. And I was sitting there going, man, I went to trade it in for a new truck, which was stupid. But when I did, the guy gave me a whole lot more money for it. But you know why? Because he just wanted to take a picture of the odometer. He did. He said, I'm going to give you a couple hundred thousand, I'll give a couple more $1,000 for it because I want to say that we got a truck down here that's got 700,000 miles on it. He goes, and this thing, he went and drove and he came back. He goes, it don't leak oil. It runs good on gas. The air conditioning works. The interior is good. The bed is fine. He goes, there's not a dent in the whole thing. And you know what I'm telling you this for? Is I wanted something else, and I wanted it to be better, but praise God, God gave me something that lasted a whole lot longer and was a whole lot better. And praise God, I probably could have got about 3 or 4 more years out of it, but I was dumb enough to trade it in on something else. Do you understand what I'm trying to give you? Is God will, He will put things in your life. And I'm going to be honest with you. There was times where I drove up and down the interstate in that thing, and I would see BMWs and brand new Ford trucks and Chevrolet trucks. I'm not a whatever that. And they would be on the side of the road, and I'm going, and I would just say it out loud, T-100. How about you, T-100? 720 miles, 720,000 miles. That's how God works, and He works that way in your health. He works that way in your business. He stretches stuff. He might not give you an abundance. He might not give you, oh, everybody, man, he's failing. But guess what? He ain't ever going to run out on you either. Like that meal barrel, praise God. It didn't run over, but it didn't run out. Every time they went to eat, they'd go in there and get another scoop. Put it out there and make a couple cakes for you. Hey, man, look, we're still eating. Well, everybody else is a famine. Everybody else is dying. God ain't ran out on us. Ain't that good? Give me that next verse, verse 7. This is big.
Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
How about that? And I'm not going to sit here and try to cure everybody's anxiety and fear and everything like that. But you know what? I bet we'd go a long way right there if you put all your cares on Him. If you cast all, I mean, I'm talking about giving them to Him. I'm talking about going to Him and letting Him have some of the stuff that we worry about too much. Every little detail, every little thing, everything that bothers us, every personal issue, every situation that we fly off and go crazy about, it says right here, casting all your care upon Him for what? He cares for you. Man, I don't know if you like sweet stuff like that in the Bible. Everyone's like, well, I just need a man. The God of all heaven, the God that created the universe, cares about me. The guy that can hold all the stars in His hands and fling them out in the universe and name every one of them, know every one of them, cares about me, who's nothing but a dust particle on a planet that He created by speaking in it. Amen. And here we go. Let's get this. Here's where Peter helps the brethren. Man, this is where, listen what he does right here in verse 5 and 8. So good. Here you go.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Well, how do you think he knows about that devil? The devil is desiring to sift you as wheat, right? What's this right here? He says, be sober, be clear-minded. Amen? Be clear-minded. Don't let your mind be clouded with all the stuff, the cares, right? All the things in the world, all the things that bother you, all the things you're loading up. And a lot of times we'll go to drugs and alcohol and that. That's not necessarily it. Anything that clouds your mind. Anything that gets in the way of you and God, amen? Anything that lifts itself up above God and you think about it and you worry about that more than you worry about God, what's right here? Be vigilant. You better pay attention. We are the world's worst now, and I'm not going to sit and try to tell you that I know. These little devices that we've come up with, there's a lot of people in trouble because you don't ever look around. Amen? I mean, the devil's everywhere, and we're looking like this, and sometimes all it would behoove you is take that thing down and just look around every once in a while and pay attention to where you're at and what you're doing. Amen? But spiritually, we need to be looking out and seeing how the devil operates and how he attacks. We need to start looking and saying, wait a minute, I think I've been through this attack several times. This is how it starts. This is where it is. This is where it begins. I need to counter that, and I need to learn how to defend against that. I need to be vigilant. I need sober-minded. I need to be vigilant. Watch this right here. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I've done this so many years. I've got a lion picture in my office. I love lions. It doesn't happen like it used to because I don't know what they did on Animal Planet and Animal Channels and all that. They've gone weird. But used to, just about every other night, there would be a Big Cat Diary show come on, and I didn't care about all the other big cats. I just liked the lion, right? But the lions are amazing because what they do is they hunt in a group, but what they do is they're constantly looking for the best opportunity to eat. I can identify, right? But they're always looking, and what they're always looking for is somebody who's sick, weak, or don't know any better. And most of the time, don't know any better is on the high-end level, right? It's usually the animal that's like everybody else is listening and paying attention and watching out and really, oh, man, it's good. And it's always that one, it's like, I don't care, you know? Separated from the herd, got in an area that they shouldn't been in, sink down a little bit, get in a bad spot where all the elders and all the... Wonder why all the elders and all the smart ones and all the animals that's lived the longest won't hang out over here in the darkest part on the edge of nobody, in the place where we can't get any footing, and the lions are sitting over in the weeds going, lunch. This one right here. Not sick, not old, dumb. That eats just as good as anything. Amen? Listen, as believers, God, Peter told him, said, look, I didn't have my mind right. I wasn't looking out and seeing how the, I didn't realize, I'm preaching right here better as much as good as all night right here. I didn't realize that I was walking with Jesus, God Himself, and realized my adversary can't stand me because I'm with God. We need to realize the more stuff we do for the kingdom of God, you are on His radar. You can't do the stuff that we're doing in this church and act like you're just going to walk around and the devil ain't going to attack you. You need to get your head up and your heart and your mind open and be sober and go, okay. Because if your kids are coming up here and praying, if your wife's coming up here and praying, if your husband's attending this church and he's seeking the Lord, every devil in hell will come against your life. Know it. Know it. When all he wants to do is get you to lose your faith. Not lose your salvation, lose your faith and walk away and live outside the will of God, where you don't affect anybody else in this life. What he wants you to do is close up shop, go home, work your own job, do your own thing, and say, well, I got down there. Nobody's getting changed that way, and that's what he wants. He can't keep you from going to heaven, but he'll keep you from taking anybody with you. That's what he wants. And that ain't what he's going to get. Because we're going to take Peter's advice, say, clear-minded, get my side, knowing who my adversary is. Let's all stand. Thank you for reading tonight, Diane. That's amazing once again.